we didn't get saved and then work at it till we became righteous in His sight. I mean, 30 seconds after you made Jesus the Lord of your life, your spirit was born anew, old things passed away, and you were made the righteousness of God in Him.
What does it mean to be spiritually bold? Find out on today's Believer's Voice of Victory with Kenneth Copeland and his special guest Bill Winston as they continue their life-changing series, Becoming Kingdom of God-Minded.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We open our hearts and we open our minds again today to receive revelation from heaven. What a joy we had on this broadcast yesterday, finding out and learning that in you we are the righteousness of God, Lord Jesus. You have made us kings and priests unto our God, and you have brought us into this righteous place by your blood. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And we ask you to give us more insight and concept into it today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Bill, when we closed yesterday, I don't know what all we talked about yesterday. It just thrilled me. So it always has and it always does, that we have been made the righteousness of God in Him. We didn't get saved and then work at it till we became righteous in His sight. I mean, 30 seconds after you made Jesus the Lord of your life, your spirit was born anew, old things passed away, and you were made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, you practice crucifying the flesh. You awake to righteousness and sin not. But it isn't that you sin not and awake to righteousness.
Right. And you know, Brother Copeland, people sometimes have problems with prayer and communion with God and so forth like that, because sometimes they still see themselves, even though born again, as so unworthy.
Oh, I did that, Bill. It cost me the first 4 years of my Christianity.
The Bible says righteousness and unrighteousness, they don't go together. Mm-hmm. What communion has light with darkness? What communion has righteousness with darkness? They can't go together. And you know, I remember one time I was praying, and I just started to ministry. And like you say, you have to awake to righteousness. You've got to come alive to the revelation of the fact that you are the righteousness of God. So I'm in late at night, Saturday night, preparing for this little church that we had started in Minnesota. I'm praying and reading the Bible, and nothing's coming, and it's just as dry as a bone. And I'm going to really try to put it on God. I'm going to try to kind of con God. I said, Lord, now I'm starting to cry now. Lord, the people need a word, Lord. And I heard this just as clear as a bell. What are you doing? I said, I was trying to get a word. I'm hearing this clear as a bell. How does it say come before me? Well, it says, come boldly before the throne of grace. Why don't you do that? I said, well, praise God, then. And without even praying, boom, here comes the word.
We were back when the kids were little. And Kelly, I don't know, she was about five. Mm-hmm. She got for everything she said she thought kind of fine. We were at the table. She said, Daddy, would you pass me the bread? I said, what? Pass me the bread? I said, Kelly, what do you want? She said, pass me the butter. I said, Kelly, Now listen, you belong at this table and you don't have to whine and cry when you ask for something. The word of the Lord jumped up in me and said, well, I wish you'd do the same. I said, oh, Jesus. I've been doing God the same way. And Helen, you pick that up out of that old religious,
yes,
old carnal-minded thing.
Because people say things like, you know, I'm saved. What did they say? I'm sanctified. No, I'm just an old sinner.
Saved by
grace.
You can't be both.
You can't be both.
No.
And without knowing it, our words is feeding that into our system, feeding that into our minds. So here I'm supposed to be saved, and it's still an old sinner. Well, now wait a minute. One of them's got to go.
Yeah.
You can't have them both dwelling in that same place.
Billy Graham called that a spiritual schizophrenic.
Did he go? Okay.
He said, that's a monster. God didn't create a monster when you accepted Jesus
exactly.
as your Savior.
We become saved. And I look at this righteousness, the concept of righteousness, as a foundation for miracle-working faith and power. Because you got to have faith to overcome the world. You got to have faith to receive the promises. You got to have faith to war in terms of fight the good fight of faith. You got to have faith to please God. Well, if righteousness is not there, and this whole unworthy thing is there, how does faith work?
Well, it's your breastplate.
That's exactly right. It sure is.
Yeah,
And so I saw that, and one of the things that I did is started, I said, we need to teach some on this concept of righteousness. Because people think righteousness is coming by the goody-goody way I act. When righteousness is the nature, and if you join in with the nature, your actions will become right. And that right way of acting is conduct. That's holiness. When I come back here and say, okay, let me receive the righteousness of God. How does he see me? There is therefore now no condemnation.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
Sees you the head, not the
yes,
tail.
Sir.
See, so forth and so on. So if I awake to all these things, now it's going to wake up a new boldness inside of me. And I'm going to see myself as God sees me. Let me give you an example. When we're in right standing with God, I'll use an example of a person who has an apartment in a large apartment building. And the landlord is on the first floor. They just heard about it. The problem is they're 3 months behind in their rent. So in that apartment building now, that person's going to turn off the TV. That person's going to do this thing, act like I'm not there. Why? Because this whole idea of righteousness brings back us back into fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a person sees themselves as unrighteous, it's hard for them and God to walk together, to talk together. And so what happened? Now, but suppose that person is in the same apartment building. Now they have 3 months in advance paid up, and their faucet's been leaking for 2 weeks.
Whole different attitude.
And that's the same thing with God
Whole
with us.
Whole different attitude. People, when he's behind on the rent, he ain't about to call a guy to come up there and fix it.
Nope.
Faucet.
Nope. Even your prayer changes when you become righteous.
Well, the word says that his ears are open to the righteous.
His ears are open to their prayer. The effective, fervent prayer of
a righteous man
availeth much. And I remember this story.
And his eyes are
over the righteous.
And it's not the guy that has attained some sort of special place with God. You got that special place in Christ Jesus. He's the one that attained it.
Goodness.
You got it in him.
Right.
But that doesn't make it any less yours. In fact, it makes it more yours, doesn't it?
It makes it more yours.
Yeah.
It brings peace. It brings fellowship. It brings faith. And it restores sonship. That people can come and walk and talk with God again. And that is what God is after.
You know, Bill, the idea that I remember when Gloria and I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, Gloria came out of a church that didn't teach anything hardly at all, that you certainly no righteousness at all. In fact, you didn't even know if you were saved till after you died. I mean, it was that kind of thing. I was raised in the Baptist church that did teach the new birth. I just didn't receive it.
Yeah.
But I knew something about it. But I had this idea stuck in my mind about the way I had lived, because I was really under a guilty trip for knowing and not doing it from the time I was 10 years old until here I was in my mid-20s before I ever got saved. And I could still see all that unrighteous living in there, and I was guilty over that. Nobody told me I'd been made the righteousness of God. That was not in my thinking. So when God immediately began to move on me to come on and get on into ministry here like I belong, oh, man, my goodness, I could never do that, Brother Bill, because after all, you know the way I lived. I sinned away my opportunity to stand behind that holy desk. I thought that was high and lofty, you know. He's just stupid. So, but when I found out that my iniquities had been blotted out for his sake, and that he remembered my sin no more, and that his blood had washed it out, and now I had been made the righteousness of God in him. Whoa, born of his word, incorruptible seed. How could my spirit man be corruptible when he's born of incorruptible seed? Now, my body had a lot of work need to be done on it.
Yep.
But I had the righteousness in me with which to work on this flesh and crucify it and retrain it and get it back to work. But that cost me for 4.5 years before I found it out.
And that needs to be preached and taught.
Oh, yeah.
In the church.
I read that scripture. His eyes are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. And the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I read that. And I told Gloria, I said, you know, man, if I can get into this place as a righteous man, boy, man, get over into that, he'd be a praying with, wouldn't he? God's ears are open to his prayers. His eyes are over. Oh, God. And I was that man all the time, and I didn't know it.
See, this righteousness needs no confirmation of the flesh to determine whether your prayers have been answered.
Say that again.
This righteousness needs no confirmation from the flesh to determine if something was done by God.
The word is confirmation.
The word is confirmation.
In the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews, where it says, the covenant ends all arguments. Ain't no argument from your flesh once the word says it.
None.
Hallelujah. You ought to say that right now. You ought to put that in your mouth. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have a right in this kingdom. I have been raised up to sit with him in heavenly places. These things belong to me.
And we have a right to be healed. We have a right to be blessed financially.
It's yours, isn't it?
That's ours. It's ours. Brother Hagin wrote a little book, just a powerful book called Healing Belongs to You.
Yeah.
My Lord. But this is a Bill of Rights. This is what is ours. And it's not that you trying to make God do something, because if you look at it according to righteousness, he did it before the foundation of the world.
He refused to be denied.
Yes, indeed. And I found out, Brother Copeland, that when I get over into this mindset, I can see revelation like I never saw it before. And that is what the devil fears, because his biggest weapon is the weapon of ignorance. Darkness.
Oh, my, yes.
Yes, indeed.
Lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge. The Bible says in Revelation, the whole world
is under deception.
Well, the saints don't have to be.
No, you don't. You have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have this thing here. And like you said, now I remember another example he gave me. When Jesus bore our sins on the cross, the Bible says down here, that look at here in verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So here's Jesus on the cross, made sin for us, okay?
He never sinned.
Never sinned. He was made sin. Well, if he can be made sin, you can be made righteous. So then I saw that here's the nails and everything in his hands, it's holding his side. So now he goes to hell for mankind. 3 days and three nights, first man born again from death to life, comes up, defeats the devil in open combat, took back everything that he stole, went up, Mary saw him, "Touch me not, I've not yet ascended to my father and your father." Yeah. Then went up there, mercy seat, the blood of God, of the Lord, placed on the seat, came back, showed himself alive to the disciples, walked to the wall. Here they were up there gathered together. And he said, "Handle me, boys. Check me out that I'm flesh and bone." And they did that. Notice, this is what God showed me. He said, "Did he have holes still in his hands?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "How about his side?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "What was that evidence of?" I said, "Wow, that was evidence of a previous life. That was evidence of that back there where he bore sin." Mm-hmm. I said, "Well," he said, "there might be some evidence around you in your own house that you didn't live right, but he's still the righteousness of God."
Man.
Yeah. He said, see, the enemy tries to use that to try to bring people out of that sense.
Now, looky here. And that righteousness comes alive in you and comes awake. It'll start purging your environment.
It really will.
Man,
now, here's another thing, because the Bible says in Proverbs that the righteous are as bold as a lion.
Yes.
Now, watch this. I was told, and this was a story that told by somebody I know who's a pastor and a bishop over in Africa. He goes into a place which was a television station and asks to see the general manager and says, "I would like to put my television program on this station." The general manager just was full of the devil. She said, "I would rather let the devil himself put his program on here before I let you put yours on there." He takes one step back and says this, "You are fired." And walked out. 1 week later, she was fired. Watch this. That story doesn't end here. 3 weeks later, he's riding down the road, looks on the side of the road, and that same person is walking along the side of the road, brought her, stopped the car, backed up, put her in the car, got her to accept Jesus, filled her with the Holy Ghost in the car, and then took her to the local church, and she got established in the job again.
My.
That's the power that a believer... Listen, he wasn't trying to do something and cut somebody out of their work and so forth. That's not what it's about. But if you look in the book of Acts, when this man Sergio Paulus was blocking the door to the gospel, something had to be dealt with there. And this person was blocking the door to the kingdom, to this man getting this word out to all of Africa. And God wouldn't have it. And this man exercised his authority. He said, "No, sir, won't happen." And when he spoke it, God did it. Now, here was a woman, this is a true story, some two prisoners broke out of prison. This is down south. They escaped and they caught one of them. The other one they didn't catch.
There was a woman, little old house over in the country, sitting way back in the woods, and he came and broke open the door and had a gun. This little old lady who stayed alone in the house was busy cooking. And he broke open the door. He said, "Put him up." And he said, "Get over against the wall." The woman turned around, looked at him. "You better sit down and go get something to eat." Before it was all over, she fed him, gave him the gospel, got him, and took him back to the prison. And the man got born again, saved, and I guess he finished with a good life. Now, why didn't she get frightened? Why didn't this overwhelm her? Because I believe that if you got a certain relationship with God, if you're flowing with him in that dimension, this righteousness takes over. It is as bold as a lion. It will reign in this earth and keep you reigning like a king. And I'm just seeing all these things. And I said, you know, this needs to be taught to the believers.
Yes, it does.
This kind of thing.
Yes, it does.
So I'm just saying these kinds of stories here I'm hearing about people who seem to walk in a boldness that other people seem not to have. And I said, now, why is that? And I believe the foundation of that is this idea of righteousness, that we can walk in a way that the world is not quite familiar with.
You balance your rights and your authority in the kingdom of God with the commandment of love.
Yes, yes.
It's not a harsh, mean kind of boldness.
Right, exactly.
No, that's what the devil tried to make out of.
That is correct.
Because he got Adam's righteousness, and when he took it over, then he turned it into wickedness.
Yes,
he twisted that authority into meanness, right, and demanded that every man die. Mm. Mm.
That's right.
Mm. And the word says righteousness has come upon all men. Right here in the book of Romans, it said righteousness has come upon all men. Well, now here's the difference. When death came upon all men, then Satan demanded that all men die. But Jesus, in the book of Romans, makes the statement, by one man, much more by one man, they received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life of one Jesus Christ. Here's the difference. When righteousness came upon all men, God demanded that every man have a choice. Satan demanded that every man die. God demanded that every man have a choice. So you can choose. You can step out of that death thing into the righteousness of God. How? Making Jesus Lord of your life. If you've already made him Lord of your life, then take that concept of righteousness. Read the fifth chapter of Romans. Read 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. Get in there. Begin to confess these things. Read Isaiah 54, which is God calling things that be not as though they were, speaking about the church. And he said, their righteousness is of me. Now, if God says you're righteous, then ain't nobody else got anything to say about it. And we're out of time. And Brother Bill will now be back in just a moment.
From the moment the world discovered an empty tomb, mankind's access to divinity no longer knew walls or boundaries. And in the new series, Understanding Our Divinity, Kingdom Mentality, Pastor Bill Winston outlines a central reality for every believer, that through Christ you are the righteousness of God. Divinity is in you. This series examines the practical reality of the fact that the church is not housed in walls, but in the faith-filled hearts of every believer called out to transform the world. Learn what it takes to cultivate the kingdom mentality and how that mentality will change your home, your community, and nations. Understand the divinity that is in you, placed there by the Almighty God, and fear and worry give way to courage and divine confidence. Walk this earth with a kingdom mentality and live free, knowing no lack. Understand the divinity God bestows on every believer and live every day sharing in the victory of the empty tomb. Boundless joy and abundant life.
To request your copy of Understanding Our Divinity, Kingdom Mentality, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This dynamic new teaching by Bill Winston is now specially priced at just $20 and is available on 4 CDs or DVDs. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Find your place in God's kingdom. Order today.
Now, Brother Bill and I brought this up all during this broadcast. In fact, we talked about it yesterday, so let's don't go one more second without you having the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Now, those of you that already have, but you have not really understood that you've been made the righteousness of God, pray along with us in this. You don't get saved again, but you're going to have an expansion of the concept of your salvation as you pray. The fifth chapter of the book of Romans makes this statement. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, that's Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Much more is the righteousness of God available even than the sin and death was available to everybody because of Adam. And then, if by one man sin, death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, just pray with us and pray out loud. Oh, God in heaven, I believe with all my heart Jesus has been raised from the dead for my righteousness. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I repent of sin. I renounce the past. And I receive your Holy Spirit. You're my future, Lord Jesus. And in you I am the righteousness of God. And you're my representative. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that with Brother Bill and me, go on the website, use the information on your screen, let us know. I'll send you these little books, 5 little books, to help you get started studying and reading your Bible, a little brochure on how to study your Bible. And that's one of these little books. It'll just take you right off into the righteousness of God. That's what this is all about. Go to church and study and get in the things of God. We'll see you tomorrow. And remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. To help you get started learning your Bible, they have put together a special salvation package, which includes 5 books and a study brochure. Request your free package online when you log on to kcm.org. This is the year of the fullness of blessing. Take hold of the promises of God and receive the manifestation of the blessing without measure.